You're listening to your Dental Top 5 podcast with Amanda Hill, informing you on the top trends in dentistry every Thursday on the Dental Podcast Network, Channel 1. Brought to you by the creators of A Tale of Two Hygienists podcast. And now, here's your host, Amanda Hill.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this week's episode of Your Dental Top 5, where we take trending topics in dentistry and break them down into 5 usable highlights that you can take back to your op, your life, or just look smarter at your next dinner party. I'm your host, Amanda Hill. So this week, we're going to have some fun, and we're going to talk about an amazing hygienist that's doing some really cool sort of out-of-the-box things. But she's going to come on and talk to us about the top 5 ways to ensure a successful dental visit. And she has a really creative thing that she's done to ensure this. So I don't want to spoil it. So first, I'm going to welcome her. So welcome, Katie Milko, who is a public dental hygienist and entrepreneur, to your Dental Top 5.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here today. And I'm excited for you to tell our listeners about what you have done. Sort of outside the op, to I think fulfill your creative spirit, but also to help others. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Okay, so as she said, my name is Katie. I've been a public dental hygienist for about 12 years now, and public health is a huge passion of mine, which led me into creating a children's book series that helps parents provide a resource to prepare their children for experiences that they go through throughout their childhood. And it really was built on the premise to help basically with the fear of the unknown and provide that child with that experience in a safe place before they actually go to a foreign place and experience it.
I love it. I love it. So you, like, for instance, you have one book that's about going to the dentist. And so parents can use this book. And then when they're at the dentist, they can be like, hey, remember what happened in the book? And remember, like, it's a great way to really help kids feel more comfortable.
Yeah. So each book goes through a different experience. The dental book, it has 2 versions. One of them is actually going to a dental office. And because I'm a public health hygienist, one of them is about going to the school dentist. Because it does happen a lot. In Connecticut, we have so many programs for in-school dentistry. So that's why there's 2 versions there. But, you know, like getting a first haircut, learning how to swim, learning to do something on a creative element. All of these experiences are things that children go through that have some height of anxiety. And I feel like walking them through and giving parents a introduction and a platform to healthy ways to introduce them, and giving a child a friendly character to go through the experiences with and ultimately get a friend out of, kind of kills 2 birds with 1 stone. If a parent is like, geez, I don't know how I'm going to introduce this topic to this child. I don't want to make it worse. Here is a resource that you can use to help introduce and reintroduce this every time they go to a visit.
I love it. I mean, frankly, I could have used a book like before I started podcasting about somebody doing their first podcast. But being able just to see, you know, maybe some struggles that people might go through, but being able to feel more comfortable with it, I think makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. And there's actually stuffed animals of 2 of the characters. So they, like, a lot of kids actually bring the characters with them to their appointments. So they have something to hold on to and kind of be like, okay, it's going to be okay. You know, and all of those things. And when you compact them all together, they really help provide a positive experience. And I'm all about doing something for a child so that they don't grow up to be an adult who fears something that really should have never been fearful if it's presented in a positive way.
Absolutely. And so all the characters are modeled after your dogs or dogs that you know, correct?
Yes. Yep. My late dog, Roxy, passed away. She was 12. She was my first fur child, and this was a way for me to make sure she lived on forever.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's launch into the top 5. So what are the top 5 ways to ensure a successful dental visit? What's number 1?
All right. So I think first we can talk about words of affirmation. It's really important, I feel, for a child to hear things like, I am proud of you. That was a really great way to tell me how you're feeling. Can you tell me how that made you feel? I say to my niece all the time, use your words. What's wrong? You know, they kids get so frustrated that they end up like building up with all this tension and anger, and they burst, and it's either cry or throwing or screaming their head off. And I think it's really up to us to teach them positive and healthy ways to express those things. So if they see you saying to them, whoa, 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 okay, take a deep breath. What's wrong? Or tell me how that's making you feel. Or what happened that made you feel this way? And they, you know, kind of take a deep breath and think about it for a minute, and they can express to you, you know, that made me really scary. That light is too bright. That tool looks really sharp. What if it hurts me? What if it cuts me? What if this happens? And so by parents saying, I really appreciate you telling me how you feel, or that was a great way to share how you were feeling, and they hear that it's positive for them to actually say those things out loud, maybe they won't burst out into tears or scream or get really angry. And they're like, what's happening right now? And I've seen it happen firsthand with my nieces and nephews. So I do know that it works. It may not work all the time, but it definitely gives them a safe place to say, you know what, I can't tell my parents how I'm feeling right now.
You know, as you're telling this, I'm remembering a patient I had on Wednesday who was in her 30s, completely dental phobic. And I think I did this with her in the chair. So it's not even necessarily with kids. It's even with all of us. I think all of us to, you know, get those words of affirmation and it's
important
okay
to say, like, you know, don't be embarrassed. I don't know how many times we say that to a dental patient anyway. Don't be embarrassed about, you know, the fact that we're teaching you how to floss at 35. But, you know, we all need to learn these things, and we're all at the root of things, children inside, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's really important for them to see that it's okay to be vulnerable and it's okay to have fears, but it's also really important how you handle those feelings.
Absolutely. All right. What's number two?
All right. So we can discuss ways to basically introduce any type of experience in your home first. So you can do this with anything, but I obviously have books that are geared towards first experiences. They're a great way. I think, you know, like maybe a week before, start reading it before bed, you know, look for TV shows like Daniel Tiger or, you know, Dora the Explorer that also go through these appointments. Play those for them. Do some type of arts and crafts with the child. You know, are you going to get a bunch of marshmallows and then stick, you know, lettuce in between their teeth or something and teach them, you know, it's fun to go to the dentist. Look, you can floss. You know, get their favorite doll or Power Ranger or whatever superhero and say, okay, like when you go to the dentist, they're going to brush your teeth. Do you want to try to brush, you know, so-and-so's teeth? Let them do what they're going to experience, you know, to a certain extent. And see how that feels. And then you can say, like, okay, so when we go to the dentist, you're going to sit back in a chair and you're going to lay all the way back. You know, it's kind of like laying in bed. Do you want to try that? There's going to be a bright light on. Do you want to wear your sunglasses? You know, kind of go through the book, see what, you know, things they're going to experience on a first visit, and then try to emulate that at home in a positive direction. So, for instance, one of my books is about getting a haircut. In the book, Mama sets up a fake hair salon and uses like paper chicken tongs and shreds of paper to mimic the sounds of scissors cutting near your ear and the paper falling. So they get the point that their hair is going to be removed. It's going to be falling. And let them see that from a third party, not somebody coming into their face. And, you know, it's a very personal space. We know how that feels. Let them experience that in a safe environment with their parents or their brother or sister, before you go and chuck them into, you know, a cold, sterile room.
With a total stranger.
Or all this noise. And, you know, this is really great for parents who deal with children who have any type of autism, any special needs, you know, any learning disabilities, anything like that. It's important for us to be like, oh yeah, this noise may bother them. I might have to tell them that they might hear a drill, you know, three rooms down. It's not going to happen to them today, but they may hear this weird noise that can be scary. And just, you know, let them ask you or tell you what they did or didn't like or what they are worried or not worried about.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. All right, how about number three?
So if a child says to you, you know, I don't want to go, I don't want to do this, I'm not going, or refuses to get dressed, or whatever the situation is, and you find out that it's based on some type of anxiety or fear of what they're about to experience, you can say to them, like, okay, what about this is upsetting you? Let's see how we can make this better. I'm not a big fan of, if you sit here still, I'll go buy you a toy. I think we should teach children that it's, you know, it's okay to be scared and have fear, but it's also important to be brave. And you're not always going to get a toy or some type of big reward for behaving. So I like to say, you know, this may seem scary, but you're going to feel really brave and really happy about this experience after you did it. Remember what happened with Roxy at the end. She went through all of this anxiety from this appointment, and it was actually fun for her. She enjoyed it. So remind them of things that you've done with them over the week. Remember this happened? Remember this character felt this way? Turn that fear into a positive note. You know, once we get this dentist appointment done today, we're going to go on with the rest of our day. You're going to go back to school. You're going to go play in the yard. You're going to come home and watch a show. Whatever they normally do, keep it as routine as possible and say, remember, this is just one little thing we have to do today. Another way to turn a fear into a positive is to kind of make it fun. What can you introduce? So, you know, do you want to bring your favorite stuffed animal with you to help you be brave? What kind? Maybe you can choose the flavor of toothpaste. That would be really fun. You know, maybe you can put a special hair tie in your hair, pick the color, give them choices that can make them feel like they're still in control during their appointment, but it's in a very small box that it doesn't get out of control. Like, I don't let them know that they have a choice not to do it, but
right,
give them some flexibility to say, this is happening to you, but you do have things that you can make decisions on to make this a better experience for you.
Yeah. And I love being able to keep referring back to the books. I mean, I just remember when my kids were little, being able to talk about, you know, whatever character they were into. It was really a big deal. It really helped, you know, ease their mind if they could, you know, attach the character's experience to exactly what they were going through.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that makes so much sense. All right. So what's number four?
All right. So we can talk about expression of emotions. And some of this is going to be a little repetitive because I feel like a lot of this kind of goes around the emotional impact that a child goes through. But, you know, everyone knows their child better than anybody else. And it's important for you to, as a parent, I feel, look at how the child is acting and expressing themselves and figure out, you know, what you can do to make that a better experience. So with my nieces, I always say, use your words. I don't know it. Means, or you're gurgling, crying, or whatever. Use your words. Tell me what's wrong. And usually when I just say to her, all right, let's take five, take a deep breath, look me in the eye, what's going on? And they take a minute to calm down and really think about what's upsetting them. Sometimes it's the most easiest thing. And I'm like, really? That's what we're upset about?
Right.
You don't want to wear these shoes today? You want to wear your different shoes? Or, you know. So really getting them to be comfortable with expressing how they feel and say to them, okay, I'm really happy you told me that, but this behavior isn't okay. All you had to do is just tell me. Or remember in the book how Astoria was, you know, curled up in her room crying. And at the end of the whole entire story, she realized that it wasn't necessary. She just needed to tell mom and dad that, you know, she was scared about, you know, what if she can't swim? What if she can't get out of the pool? What if, you know, all of these things. So kind of acknowledging how they're dealing with their emotions, getting to the root of them, and then reaffirming that experience, jumping back to either a book or a favorite character of theirs or something that's not mom and dad. Children, I still think to this day, like if my dad or my mom tells me something, I'm like, but if I hear it from somebody else, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And they're like, what the heck? I've been telling you this for months.
My husband would probably say, I say the same thing about him too.
My husband is a perfect experience. He gets so mad. He's like, I told you this like a week ago, but you hear from so-and-so who's a stranger and you're like, okay.
I know. Why do strangers have so much more clout than the people that we love and trust?
Honestly, the bottom root of that is that it's so much easier for us to admit that we had a wrong feeling about something when it's not somebody that you're living with, in love with, competing with in life in general. You know, it's so much easier to be like, oh my God, you're right about that. I was looking at that wrong. When it's somebody who has some type of authority or education in that or, you know, resource, and you're like, oh, okay. So it's important for children to kind of accept those things, I think, if you kind of roll it back to an experience that has nothing to do with the two of you.
That's perfect. Yeah. All right. So what's number five?
All right. So the series really embodies encouraging children to be themselves. Whatever that is, it's really important that they kind of, if they want to be creative and they want to draw, write, sing, color, build, whatever, that they have that outlet to express the way that they're feeling. If your child is, you know, my two nieces are so different from each other. Charlie is like all full of her own gumption. She kind of beats her own drum. Nothing really gets her down. And Blake is more of like, I want to cuddle. I want to talk. I want to be held and, you know, more coddled, more emotional. You know, she seems to feel things more than Charlie. So it's really important to let them be who they are. Give them that individuality and let them know that it's okay to be that person. I think the world really all needs more kindness and acceptance of who we are as people, and to realize that if everybody was the same exact as the person you are, it would be a really terrible life. Nobody wants to
be super boring.
Right. Yeah. Or you'd find out that you're really annoyed with your own self.
that's true.
Right. You know, so it's really important that we are kind and accepting, and, you know, we teach them at an early age that, you know, your friends and the people that you are come in contact in life are all going to be different. They're going to look different. They're going to have a different attitude towards things, express and feel things differently. May not like music, may love, you know, building or whatever, and encouraging them to do that. So if your child is scared or having a fear of something, try to find a creative way for them to deal with that fear in their element. So if they love music, find a soundtrack that expresses all types of different words of affirmation or being brave or having courage or doing all these things that they can listen to in something that they really excel at or really love and enjoy. Because I feel like it's going to resonate with them a lot more than if you were like, here, watch this TV show, or here, do this, or I'm going to, you know, have you experience it in this way.
You know, you talk about this and I think adults should read your book series too, because I think we all need to be encouraged to be who we are and express things in our own unique way, because we truly are. We too all process things differently, mm-hmm. and work through stressors differently and work through all these things in our own way and in our own way that's healthy for us. And when we try to do it in other people's way, it doesn't work. And so to remember that we're unique.
I always fall back to the four boxes. Where do you sit in a box as a person? Where's your personality? Are you these two? Are you these two? Are you just this? And as an educator and a dental hygienist, I have really had to teach myself, okay, let me kind of zone in on what the personality of this patient is or this person I'm working with. And how can I kind of adapt myself to fit that way?
Yep. Lecture on that. I'm totally with you on that one.
It's really important for us. I'm not saying you need to change who you are, but if you want a child or an adult to learn from you and accept what you're trying to teach them, coming in bulls, you know, horns, being yourself, is either going to deter them, make them really shy, make them not feel comfortable. They're going to be terrified, not learn from you, can't hear what you're doing. I'm a hands-on person. I learned hygiene from the moment I picked up an instrument. Everything that I kind of learned in class didn't click until I was sitting in somebody's mouth going, oh, that makes so much more sense. And I feel like we get so stuck in our own ways that we forget those things.
Absolutely. So it's great to bring kids back to allowing them to express the way that they express. All right. Well, let's review these top five. So number one is words of affirmation.
Yes.
Number two is introduce the experience at home first. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of starting a couple weeks ahead of time, reading books and watching shows. And that's such a good one. And crafts. I like the crafts I do mm-hmm. too. Number three, turn fear into a positive experience.
Yep.
Number four, expressions of emotion. And number five, discuss ways to encourage. Well, Katie, thank you so much for coming on today. If people want to reach out to you, or if people want to buy the book series, because I frankly think we all need the book series, how can they do that?
So it's really simple, katiemelko.com. And you can find my email, my contact information, all of my books and everything that I do on there.
And real quick, you were telling me that some of the books are published with a dyslexic font too, right?
Yes. So all of my books are also available in a dyslexic font. And those are all something you can buy on Amazon. You can find all the links on my website as well. But it really aligned with my passion for my series and what I really wanted it to embody. There's nothing more important to me than putting something out in another way for a child or a parent to be comfortable explaining or reading or teaching. Or, you know, everybody is so different. So whether you are struggling with figuring out how to read or learning math,
who likes math?
God, gives me chills just thinking about math. Or, you know, dealing with any type of disability, there is always resources out there. And if you can provide another resource to make their life just that much easier in an already difficult world, why not?
I love it. I love that you did it. All right. Well, everyone, we all know that only 4 out of 5 dentists could agree. So if you have something to add to this top five, or you have an idea for a whole nother top five, email me at AmandaHillRDH@gmail.com, and we'll be sure to include your dental top five. Make it a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Your Dental Top 5 on the Dental Podcast Network, Channel 2. Be sure to join us next Thursday to hear more from Amanda.